me that I'm a very big baseball fan. I'm not a Cubs or a White Sox fan per se. I happen to just really like baseball. Not a necessarily, you know, I happen to love it. I've seen Kaufman the game, and as much as my wife hates the game, and most people that you speak to who don't know what baseball is will say that you're in, for example, will tell you that baseball is the worst game that they've ever seen in their lives, and there's no point to it. Nonetheless, there's a tremendous amount of Kaufman that you can get there. Now, for years, there was domination in baseball that was due to experience and payroll. For years it was like that. For almost 30 to 40 years, experience and payroll played a huge part, which is one of the reasons why the Yankees, the Dodgers, etc. became so successful, because they had the biggest payroll, and they always got the most experienced guys, and they would be able to afford to pay for the greatest coaches, the greatest everything, putting everybody together. But there's an anomaly in baseball right now, and it's changed over the past couple years, in which a youth movement has been brought in, where everything has seemingly changed just a little bit, where everybody is searching to change their teams around, or at least the smart people are trying to change their teams around to make it filled with youth, to change from the old, experienced players to all these younger players working together and building up a brand new system, building your farm system, making something different. Right now, the best teams in baseball, the St. Louis Cardinals excluded because they cheat a lot, but aside from them, you're dealing with the Cubs, the Pirates, the Astros, the Royals, the Blue Jays, built it up from the bottom up. They put a ton of money into their youth. They the Royals, I think, bottomed out for about 35 years. They literally did nothing for years, got high draft picks, built up their draft picks, traded good players for more draft picks, and did it over and over and over again until now. You're seeing the best teams in baseball are these young teams with small payrolls that are just getting through the competition like it's nothing. And of course, there still are the Cardinals, right, who take from other teams and destroy. And there are still teams that are like that. But nonetheless, it seems to be like a bit of an anomaly, which is interesting, that you could be a contender in a few years by just bottoming out and working on yourself and building yourself up. There's a lot of chokhmah to that, and there's a lot of information that you can take from that. I'm using that as a muscle to try to springboard into our next topic. There's a medrash that's quoted in the Hakdama of the Ein Yaakov, and I think I say it every year, but this medrash does not exist in our medrash rabba, medrash tanchuma, anywhere around there. It only exists in the introduction to the Ein Yaakov. It's brought down by the Ein Yaakov himself, and he says the following. We have a variation of this, but it's not the exact medrash. What is the most important pasuk in the Torah? Says Rabbi Akiva, this is the famous one that everybody knows, the pasuk is, V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, the greatest pasuk in the Torah, V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, loving your fellow friend like yourself, and to have Bein Adam L'chaver, working on your Bein Adam L'chaver. Comes along Ben Azai, Shimon Ben Azai comes along and says, Zeth Sefer told us Adam. This is the Sefer of the generations of mankind, of what a man has to do in order to work in his way, Midos, and everything else that a person does in the world. That's how he says. Ben Azai says, that's the most important pasuk in the Torah. And then comes Ben Zoma. Ben Zoma comes along and says, Etha kevesa achot tasef avoker, Etha kevesa sheni tasef ben arbaim. That every day you bring one sheep in the morning, and one sheep in the evening. And that's the most important pasuk in the Torah. The question is, why? Why does Ben Zoma say that's the most important pasuk? Yafel Reif HaKolk, I get. Zed Sefer told us out of the work on yourself to become a better person, I get. But Etha kevesa achot tasef avoker, Etha kevesa sheni tasef ben arbaim, unless you're dealing with korbanos, and you're saying the whole point of the entire world is to bring a korban, which we know is not. We don't have korbanos anymore. Even if you say it's tefillah, how is that the point of the entire world? How is that supposed to be the most important pasuk, the one that's all-encompassing that a person should work on their entire life? And the Ein Yaakov takes it to mean that the idea behind it is that a person has to have a set order to his life, an idea of what he wants and when to do it, how to go about his life. If a person knows every morning he has to bring one sheep, and every evening he has to bring another sheep, and he knows that every morning and every evening he starts with this and he ends with this, then he knows how his day is going to go. He knows every day how things are going to happen. And it's almost as if that Seder becomes ingrained within you, to which is second nature. He's ready to go. He's always there. There's no problem in having those issues of, can I get up in the morning? Can I get up in the morning? I'm going to bring my kevis in the morning. I'm going to bring my kevis in the evening, no matter how hard it is. I had a Rebbe, his name was Rabbi Kirshenbaum. It's a Rebbe Ramut Dalit. And he taught for half a year at Beis Yisrael, my fourth year there. And he said the most amazing thing to me that at the time, it still hits me, that he had not slept outside of his bed in over 40 years. Over 40 years, he slept in his bed at night, which means he took a vacation, but the vacation was only during the day. And every night, he made it back home. He would never stay overnight in another place. And he told us, because he wants to be consistent. His consistency was so key to everything he did that he wanted to make sure that he was going to be able to sleep in the same bed every night. Said if he was somewhere else, he'd be a little bit messed up. His head would be a little bit different. Everything would be there. It's a Gemara in Erev, that Shabbos messes over the Aniyim. That during the week they barely eat anything. And on Shabbos they stuff themselves and they eat a ton of food. So therefore on Shabbos day and Moshe Shabbos their stomachs are killing them. And some days it's difficult for them to get around. You have a makor for why people don't always come on some days. It's a makor. It's because they get sick over Shabbos from everything they had on. There's a consistency that's so key. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says, he says it in Siman Aleph, that if a person wants to get up in the morning, and he gets up 4 days in a row, he says, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, he guarantees you'll have siyata d'shmaya to get up Thursday and Friday. Guaranteed you'll be able to do it. Get up the same time, let's say 7 o'clock every morning, 4 days in a row, Wednesday and Thursday will be easy. It's no longer difficult to get to. Now it becomes something which you built yourself up to that point. Now you can do it. Now you can make it that way. That's the concept behind it. Even if one morning your alarm doesn't go off, even if one morning the becker doesn't come into the room, you're still up. You still get up. It's automatic. Because I've got myself so used to getting up at that time. You know what the biggest bracha is? When on Shabbos, you wake up. I happen to get up at 6:45 every morning. When on Shabbos, you wake up at 6:45. And the most geschmack feeling in the world is you sit there and you're like, I can sleep a little bit extra. I can go back just for a little bit extra. It will mess up your Sunday, I'm guaranteeing that. There's no question. But to get up 6 days in a row, 6:45, and then a Shabbos day, you get up at 6:45 again, it's automatic. You don't need an alarm for that. There's an inner alarm that automatically makes it for you because you set yourself up to a point where you're doing it on your own. You don't need anything else for that. You get yourself used to a Seder in your life, to everything that happens, when Mincha and Maariv should be. Even if Mincha and Maariv changes over time, and it's a little bit different, but every week it's only a 5-minute difference. You get yourself used to when Mincha and Maariv is, and especially when you're in Yeshiva, when you have 1:45. Once you get yourself used to going to a 1:45 Mincha, or a 9:45 Maariv, it's difficult for you to stop. It's difficult for you to get out of that rut. Because once you're in there and you know you're there, it's almost like your feet are taking you there without you even thinking about it. There were times David HaMelech said at the Gemara Brachos where David HaMelech wanted to go somewhere else. But his feet led him to the Beis Medrash because he was so used to going to the Beis Medrash. He wanted to do something else, but he couldn't. Couldn't get himself out of there. This is not going to be the rest of your lives. You're not going to be spending I shouldn't say that. There will be people here that will be spending the rest of their lives in a Beis Medrash and spending as much as they can learning. But it's not normal to do that. Normally you're going to have to get a job, even if the job is being a Rebbe. It's not the same as being able to go to a Beis Medrash and learn every single day. Where your schedule is in your own hands. You can decide what to do and when to do it. It's not normal for that to be for more than another 2, 3, 4 years. And then what? And then what? Where are you going to be? Are you going to be that guy who, when I ask him, so are you getting up for chakras in the morning now that you're working? You're getting up for chakras? Yeah, I'm getting up for chakras at the hotel of my house. And I sit there and I have my own special place where I put on my tefillin in the morning. Can you be that guy who needs to challenge himself to get out of his house to go to Maariv that night? Do you want to be that guy where it's so difficult because you never got yourself used to anything? You never got yourself used to going to Maariv. Never got yourself used to getting up for mincha. You know how difficult it is for any balei bais, any person that's working, to make sure there's time in the middle of the day, especially in the winter, to daven mincha? You know how difficult it is? They barely eat lunch, let alone mincha. There are doctors who don't see the light of day for 18 hours straight. 18 hours straight. They have no idea what time it is. No idea. They just go from one patient to the other patient, they sleep a little bit, get to another patient, go to another patient, etc. They're not looking outside, there's no windows anywhere in a normal hospital. They have no idea. Do you know how difficult it is for a doctor to remember to daven mincha, daven maariv, to daven shacharis? It's difficult. It's difficult because you're out of your elements. You're not where you're supposed to be. It's everywhere. And I'm not. No one should speak out of this. How was your vacation? How was your vacation? Chakras, mental mark, easy as pie, right? Everything. You were just waking up. Everything was fine. You were able to go to mental mark without any issue. It's difficult when you're not in your element. You have to build yourself up through your siddharm, through the siddharm of the yeshiva, through the times of davening that you have, so that the point comes where when you have to leave and you're out and you no longer, it's no longer easy for you, that's when you're up to the challenge. You're ready to go. You've built yourself up to the point where you can't miss. See what Dessler says in his Shara Bechira, that the point of Bechira is to eventually lose it, where you eventually are not there anymore. I'm hoping, and I think this is true, that no one here really has that challenge of turning on a light on Shabbos. You pass by a light on Shabbos, even if you need the light in the room, nobody is sitting there consciously telling themselves, don't turn on the light, it's Shabbos. It's automatic. You keep Shabbos, you've kept Shabbos for years. If you do it for so long, it becomes automatic. You're not going to turn on the light. Even if someone tells you, wouldn't it be easier if you turn on the light? Yeah, it would be easier. I'm not turning on the light. You bring yourself to the point where you can walk by a McDonald's and not say to yourself, I wish I had a burger for a dollar. Well, you could say that to yourself, but you just don't buy it. You don't even say to yourself, where maybe it's mutter for me to get a Coke. Maybe the French fries technically are done in oil that maybe might be kosher. You get yourself to the point where it's not a shayla anymore. I'm not going to McDonald's. It's the definition of trade. The little M stands for trade. It's nothing else. You think that way, where you pass by the place and you don't even think about it anymore. It's not there, says Rav Dessler. That is a higher level of bechira, where you can't do something wrong. Use the example of Rav Chaim Kanievsky. You know how hard it is for him to sin? You know how hard? It's so difficult. He's over 90 years old. He's been doing this his entire life. And he has people around him at all times. How is he going to sin? What's he going to do? Even if he doesn't make a bracha on food, everybody's going to say, like, oh, he must have a shita. There's a tosis, there's a raspa somewhere. There's something. His own mind is so, it's so into everything. You can't. You know, somebody had such a challenge this summer that came up to me. He told me, it's such a crazy thing. I never thought about it. Never thought about it. And granted, I have a beard, but I never thought about it at all. Said, I got myself used to shaving with a razor. Started using a razor. Started getting himself used to it. He said, I can't stop. I can't stop. I'm like, what's the problem? Just using an electric shaver. He's like, you have no idea how awesome it is to use a razor. You have no clue. I'm like, you're right. Right? I have absolutely no idea. I did, actually, I had a surgery on my leg this past summer. Everything's okay, but I had to fix something, and I had to shave my leg. So I used a razor on my leg. Let me tell you, I have the worst pain that I've ever been in my life was not from the surgery. It was from me cutting my leg, a strip of skin about that big. Yeah, pretty good, right? With a little razor. Nothing is fun about a razor. Nothing. There is nothing good about it. But nonetheless, this guy was so into it. He's like, you have no idea. It's like, it goes to the contours of your face, and you go online, and you get these new razors like every 3 days, and they come in. He's like, I can't stop. I can't stop using a razor. So I'm coming to you. I want to know what to do. So I forget about what I told him. But do you understand that a person can come to the point where he's addicted to razors? razors. That's it. That's the other level of the kfirah. Where you're not improving yourself. You're making yourself, it's so far down, you can't get yourself past that point. You get so addicted to certain things or dependent on so many things, you can't build yourself out. That happens with drinking, it happens with drugs, it happens with smoking, it happens with so many things. You just can't get yourself out. It's a level of behavior that you can't, you're trying so hard, and it's almost as if you have no choice. And of course you can get above it. Of course, on Shabbos, of course you can turn off the light if you really force yourself to. But you're beyond help. Or, in the good way, you're beyond anything that could possibly go wrong. It's such a level, says Rav Detzler, that if a person does that, you could be in a place where, although I don't get a mitzvah for every time I walk by a light, and I don't turn it off or on Shabbos, I don't get a mitzvah for that. But I get schar for walking past the light and just automatically not turning it on, because I'm a better person now. I'm a better person. I keep Shabbos. I'm above that level. So I automatically get some schar just by being on a different level. Says Rav Detzler, that's where you want to go. I've noticed, it's amazing what these people are able to do. There's a movie star out there who does his own stunts. And I read about it over the summer. This guy, I can't believe it. He's a famous movie star. Everybody knows who I am. I just don't want to say his name at the base manager because he's the most tummy person you could possibly imagine. Or one of the most tummy, up there in the top five. But he climbed the Burj Khalifa, I think that's how you pronounce it, in Dubai. The whole Dubai Tower. He climbed the Burj Khalifa and holding on by one string that was holding on to his belt, he was able to train himself to get to the point where he was hanging on from there and he was running around. And in a movie of his, where he's running around the tower and everybody thought it was a fake and everybody thought it was whatever, he was really doing it. It was a real stunt. And in another movie, he went onto a plane, held onto the actual plane with his hands, has one rope that's holding onto him, and the plane went 8,000 feet into the air. 8,000 feet, and there's a whole thing. It's like a real... He really did it. He really did it. But that didn't bother me so much. I was like, okay, so he's a moron. That's fine. I'm okay with people that are willing to kill themselves. I know people that do lots of things that are crazy. This got me. There's a scene where he had to hold his breath for 4.5 minutes underwater. Now, you try it. Try holding your breath for 30 seconds underwater. Okay? Try holding it for 30 seconds underwater. Then try for a minute. There's no way. No way. Maybe one person here can do a minute underwater. Maybe a person can do a minute underwater. And after that minute, you're going to come up and you're going to... You're not going to be able to do it. He trained himself. He hired a guy, and he trained himself to hold his breath for 4.5 minutes. And in a movie of his, there's a live scene where he's holding his breath for 4.5 minutes. 4.5 minutes. How do you do that? How do you do it? So somebody asked him that question, and he said, well, I trained every single day, and every single day I built up my lung strength. And it went further and further. So day one, it was 30 seconds. Day two was 33 seconds. Day three was 34 seconds. And I kept going. And at some point, you can't do anymore. At some point, you're not a dolphin, so it's not going to happen anymore. So he went up, but he got up to 4.5 minutes. And he did it. He went under for 4.5 minutes. There's a magician who can do the same. The magician, you know, one of those guys who pretends they're magic guys, who can hold his breath for 6 minutes. 6 minutes underwater. It's amazing. It's amazing that people have the ability to do this because you can build up your stamina, build up your strength, and do it. And if they can do that, there is no question what you can do here. There's no question. So how do you change? So how do you make that happen? How do you bring it about? You've got to have a plan. And that's why I brought the examples of baseball up above. When a person sees the end goal, the plan of what he has, what he wants to be and where he wants to be at the end of, I don't know, 20 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, and you picture yourself at that goal, you don't care what people are telling you in the present. Because when you have a goal, and you know you want to be here, and the only way for me to be there is to do this, that, and the other, and you have that goal, then who cares that somebody's making fun of you right now? Because I know what I'm going to be 10 years from now. Each one of these teams made sure that they bombed. They were last place for years, to make sure that they would get to the goal that they had at hand. And when people said to them, you realize you're in last place, you're never going to get out of there. They kept saying, it's not about now. It's about 3, 4, 5 years from now. Where am I going to be then? That's what I'm working on. It's not the present that I'm worried about. I'm seeing where I am, and I know what I have to do, and I'm worried about that. That's what I'm worried about. Nothing about right now. It's not about the here and now. Where am I then? If there's a plan, you don't care when somebody comes up to you and makes fun of you. You don't care when somebody tells you that you're wrong. You know you're right. You've got a plan. You have something. You know where you are. You know what you're seeing at the end, the end goal. If you're ready to build yourself up, and you have an end goal of holding your breath for 6 minutes, then it doesn't matter that somebody says to you, right now it's only 2 minutes. You're never going to make it. I know it's only 2 minutes now. I'm going to build it up. I'm going to work on it. That's something that I'm going to do right now. That person with a plan will succeed. He's going to succeed because that's what he's looking to do. The only issue is when to make that plan. We're so busy. We don't have time to sit down and write down a plan and put it. That takes effort, that takes willpower to put down this plan and to think to yourself where I'm going to be and then have that goal in mind and everything. Sometimes it takes a terrible crisis to happen where a person says to himself, I've got to sit down, I've got to reevaluate where I'm going and what I'm doing in life. Sometimes that's what it takes. Sometimes just a reality check where something that you wanted to do just didn't happen, and that's that. Don't let it be that way. Don't let it turn around in a bad way. Sit down with yourselves. You have a couple weeks until Rosh Hashanah. You sit there and you say to yourself, where am I going? What do I really want out of this year, out of next year, out of everything? Where do I see myself in a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now? What's my end goal? What kind of a person do I want to be? What kind of girl do I want to marry? Because I'm telling you right now, the Shatanim, one of the first questions they ask, what's the guy like consistently? What's he like? Does he daven? Does he learn? Is he a good guy? Is he working on himself? Is he trying to grow? Don't make me lie. Make me say something that works. I'm going to end with this. There's a guy who's been to my Thursday night cheer for I think it's been 8, 9 weeks in a row. And I haven't seen him on my Thursday night cheer for a long time. He hasn't been there in a long, long time. And I asked him, what happened? I said, how did you do, what happened? And the summer is not an easy time. Summer is usually the time when I get the least amount of guys. Because it's not, you know, the guys are just around and there's stuff happening or whatever it is, right? There might not be Thursday night football, but there's still something happening every Thursday night. But this guy came consistently, every single week. So finally, I got it. I just pulled him over. I'm like, what happened? Where did you come from? How did this happen? And he told me that, unfortunately, he had broken off an engagement. And he sat down and said to himself, he's like, what did I do? Where am I? What do I want to be? And he said, I wanted to work on my rookies, but I don't have time. I'm working all day. He said, but I know you give a share on Thursday night and I like it and I want to go to it. So I set aside everything aside and I said to myself, I will be there on Thursday night no matter what happens. So he did it. He got up and he did it. And he made every Thursday night straight. For 9 weeks, I'm not expecting him to stop. I expect it to keep going until, you know, there's always something that has to break it up. Maybe the monotony will be broken up by him getting a chavrusa. But he's building himself up, and I see there's a visible difference in his demeanor and in everything about him. Now that I look at him, I see he's totally different. He's a consistent person. It might be that it's only once a week. Fine, it's only once a week. But he saw himself. He looked at where he wanted to go. He understood this to be part of the game plan to get there, and he did it. You don't want that crisis. Just sit down, say to yourself, where am I going? What do I want to do? You'll get there. Things will be okay. It's going to take a little bit. People will make fun of you a little bit, and you won't have any issue with it. So look past them, you'll say, I have a goal. I'm fine. Shavizoka to such a thing.